A new documentary about a shooting that fueled America's racial reckoning is out today on Hulu. It's called The New York Times Presents The Killing of Breonna Taylor. And it opens with a 911 call Taylor's boyfriend made after she was fatally shot by police.
I don't know what happened. Somebody kicked in the door and shot my girlfriend. Oh my God.
How old is your girlfriend?
She's 26. Bring it.
For more about this documentary and how it deepens what we know about Breonna Taylor, we're joined by NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Hi, Eric.
Hey.
So this hour-long documentary on Hulu brings together much of what we've known about this case, along with several new interviews. Here's Breonna Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, describing the moment when she was finally allowed to see the apartment where her daughter was killed.
I saw where she laid on the floor and died. It was bullet holes everywhere, in the ceiling, into the upstairs apartments, the walls, the clock, the stove, the bed. I was sorry that I wasn't there.
Yeah. Eric, how do these personal accounts add to the story that we've heard about Breonna Taylor?
Well, and I think there's been, of course, a lot of reporting about what happened. But as somebody who does follow the news, I was still surprised and really affected by some of the things in the New York Times episode here, including that tape of that 911 call that her boyfriend made. You know, you can hear in his voice that he can't believe that just out of nowhere his life has completely been turned upside down. And the episode reveals a lot. It talks about why the police targeted Breonna Taylor. They saw an ex-boyfriend of hers as a drug dealer, and they thought that she, in the past, had been working with him to hide drugs. And so that's one reason why they targeted her apartment. The actual warrant that they used to break in was a no-knock warrant, but it got changed at the last minute before they went in to a warrant where they were supposed to announce themselves. Mm. And one of the officers who was involved had a very questionable history with a lot of past allegations of misconduct, the only one who's been fired. So there were a lot of things that I learned about the case that I didn't know before. And to have it all presented in a televised format, which is a little easier to process sometimes and a little more emotionally touching, that was really special to experience. In fact, one thing that the episode does is really flesh out who Breonna Taylor was. And we have a clip from her friend, Alicia Bowman, talking about what it felt like to lose her friend, and maybe we could play a little bit of that.
I thought maybe it'd get a little easier on her. It's actually like hurting more. I never knew I was capable of hurting like this, you know? Like, I think I need psychological help now at this point about the situation. And I'm a strong person. It's got me so weak.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, we get to hear from those who knew her. We hear all of those details that you're talking about the case. What sort of portrait do we get of Breonna through the words of those who knew her?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we find when a person of color is killed by police, there's an immediate attempt to quantify the life of the person who was killed. In some ways, people use that as a way to justify whether or not the killing is considered a tragedy or not. And so for the people who are close to the person who was killed, it's really important to them to humanize the person who died, and so that the public knows that this was somebody, in Breonna Taylor's case, who, you know, had designs of becoming a nurse. Her boyfriend said they had just worked out some relationship issues and they kind of felt like they were ready to commit to each other. You know, this real sense that she was sort of the life of the party whenever she was around friends. And all of this is just a way to sort of say to the world that she really did matter, that this really was a huge loss, and to humanize her so that people don't just see her as another statistic, or worse, try to demonize her life in a way to justify the actions of the police. And so that was another thing that was interesting to watch in this New York Times story, to see all these people who loved her and where her life was at when it was cut short, all to sort of give you a sense of what a tragedy this actually was.
This documentary goes along with a deeper piece of investigative work that the New York Times has done. Can you tell us a little bit about the New York Times Presents?
Sure. The New York Times began working with FX, the cable channel FX, to present a regular show called The Weekly that would sort of be their version of 60 Minutes in a way. And I'm not sure what the status of that series is. My sense is they might have canceled it. I'm not sure. But they do still have this relationship with the New York Times where the New York Times is creating these documentaries. It allows the Times to sort of take its journalism into new platforms and present something in a new way that might affect people and reach a new audience.
Very interesting and a lot to definitely check out. That's NPR's TV critic Eric Deggans. As always, thank you so much, Eric.
All right. Thanks for having me.